So we've been looking at this passage in John's Gospel. Jesus is spending his last evening with his disciples before he's arrested and before he's crucified. And he is imparting his final body of teaching to the disciples so that they'll know what to do once he's no longer physically with them. He's really giving them a sense of their mission, what they're supposed to be doing when he's not physically with them anymore. And there's this famous illustration in chapter 15 of the vine and the branches that we're going to look at today in the middle of the teaching. So John 15 and verse 1, "I am the true vine," says Jesus, "and my Father is the gardener." And again he goes on to say verse 5, "I am the vine, you," speaking to the disciples, "are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Well, let's start with a verse from Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, verse 13, the writer says, "Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence." He's saying, what's been the point of me trying to live the right way before God? What's been the point of me trying to live an innocent and a good life? It seems like it's been a waste of time. I wonder if you ever feel like that. What's the point in trying to follow Jesus? What's the point in standing out? What's the point in trying to swim against the tide of society when society is going in a different direction to the church? Why bother? Why bother praying? Why bother forgiving? Why bother seeking God? We ask these questions sometimes, maybe not openly, or maybe sometimes just in our hearts, because we've taken our eyes off the bigger picture. Sometimes we stop seeing the big picture of what God's doing, and we just focus in on the hardships of the present time and the challenges that we're facing, and we stop seeing that the challenge of following Jesus is not just about the difficulties of today. It's about our destiny. It's about our future. It's about who we really are. It's not just about us coming to church on Sunday or us being part of a church congregation. It's about our whole everlasting relationship with God. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to expand the minds of the disciples to see. So let's think first of all the illustration itself. At the end of chapter 14, Jesus says, "Come now, let's leave." We don't really know what that means or what that refers to. He said that. Perhaps they left the upper room and perhaps they're making their way by moonlight through Jerusalem. Perhaps they may have gone to the temple, because the temple, over the door and entrance of the temple, there was this huge gold vine. It was made of gold, a beautiful vine, a symbol of Israel, over the temple door. Or it may be just that they're out passing gardens as they've gone out of Jerusalem towards Gethsemane. They're passing gardens that have vines starting to grow in them. It's in springtime. But whatever, Jesus takes that picture, whether it's the temple door golden vine or whether it's a vine from a garden, and he uses it as the opportunity for an illustration. Now, we don't grow vines here, we don't have the climate, but vines are cultivated for their fruit. They haven't got spectacular flowers, they can't even support themselves, they need to be held up, so they're not grown for decoration just or for their flowers. They're grown for their fruit. The purpose of growing vines is for grapes. Grapes are so versatile. They can be eaten as they are. They can be dried, made into raisins. They can be squeezed and provide juice. They can be fermented and provide wine. And wine is a big part of the life of Israel, Old and New Testament. It can be diluted for daily use, or it can be drunk in celebration to gladden the heart, as Psalm 104 says. So the vine is an important fruit for it, important plant for its fruit. Jesus says he's the true vine in verse 1. Now, in the Old Testament, the vine, as we've sung in Psalm 80, is Israel. Israel's the vine. And there's lots of places that illustration is used in the Old Testament. But Israel as a vine, just like it says in Psalm 80, has really failed to produce fruit for God. So Jesus is saying, it's no longer Israel, it's me. I am the true vine. Jesus is bringing about a new people, not a nation, Israel, but a people who are united to himself. And from him, this new people, the church of Jesus Christ, will bear fruit. Fruit that will glorify God. The branches on the vine are the disciples. Verse 5, you are the branches. And by extension, anyone who is following Jesus is a branch on the vine. And the branches are to bear fruit. Verse 5, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But vines need tending. And the one who tends the vines is God the Father. Verse 1, my Father is the gardener. And the gardener is looking for fruit. That's his purpose. And so to get fruit, he's got to do a couple of things. In the autumn, the gardener will remove branches that are not bearing fruit at all. And so in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And it may be that Jesus here is particularly thinking about Judas Iscariot, that he's a branch that is bearing no fruit and he's cut off. That's in the autumn. In the springtime, when the vine is growing, the gardener cuts back the vigorous branches and the flower heads and the suckers, some of them, so that all of the energy of the plant will go into producing fruit. And so verse 2 again, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And unfruitful branches, verse 6, there's a warning here. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. So there's a solemn warning there as well by Jesus about the dangers of not being a branch in him, of being unfruitful. But that's the basic illustration. Now, I think it's quite straightforward, although we're not familiar with vines, we don't grow them. But I think we know the kind of thing that Jesus is saying. So that in itself maybe makes us ask a couple of questions. First one is, we can ask ourselves, you know, each one of us, am I a branch on the vine? Because that's the crucial thing in the illustration. Am I a branch on the vine? And then the second thing is, am I being fruitful for Jesus? Because that's what branches on the vine are to be, fruitful. There's two things I want us to focus in on now that Jesus speaks about. One is remaining on the vine and the other is bearing fruit. So Jesus speaks about this vine and he speaks about remaining in the vine. He says you can't bear fruit unless you remain in him. So the end of verse 4, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, he says in verse 5, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The world is full of religion. The world is full of people chanting and muttering and fasting and practicing meditation and mindfulness techniques and breathing techniques. And it's full of people who are burning incense and wearing horsehair clothes and people who crawl around mountains on their hands and knees thinking that does them some good. people who give away fortunes in the name of religion, they take pilgrimages, they memorize their holy books. The world is full of people doing religion. And a great part of it has nothing in it whatsoever of God. Because Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he says, you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. So if there's no connection with Jesus in the religion, there's no God. People might have spiritual experiences, they might feel better, they might feel spiritual, but there's no God. The world is full of religion that's a waste of time because it's got no connection to Jesus. And without Jesus, you can't bear fruit for God. And without Jesus, you can do nothing. So that's a really, really challenging thing, I think, as you look around at world religion. It's not all the same. It very much isn't. Jesus is telling us here, he's the vine. Buddha's not the vine. Muhammad's not the vine. All these world religions, they do not put people into connection with the real, true and living God. Whatever they do, people might feel great with them. They might enjoy them. They might find community in them and all sorts of things, but they don't find God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Another thing that Jesus says here is he'll answer your prayers if you're remaining in him. Verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now, this is a promise we've already met in chapter 14. In verse 14 of chapter 14, Jesus says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. And we saw in chapter 14, verse 13, that when we ask, it's so that we bring glory to God. I will do whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And the same thing has been said here by Jesus in chapter 15, verses 8 and verse 16. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And then he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So these are amazing promises. They tell us that if we're really bearing fruit for God, if we're really glorifying God in our lives, then prayer is an open door. And I feel really rebuked by Jesus in this, because I feel to me it shows the poverty of my following God. It shows how little I'm really bearing fruit. It shows how little I'm really glorifying him, because so many of my prayers are not answered, certainly in the way that I expect or would like. And I think that shows that often in our prayers, our motives are not for God's glory. They're not to bear fruit for God. They're selfish motives. They're motives about us. They're motives about what we want and what would be convenient for us. Often our prayers are not answered because we're not seeking God's glory through them. We looked at this in more detail in chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, where, remember, we said that ultimately this promise about asking and getting the answer will be only fully seen in the world to come, in the new creation. And that's a wonderful thing to look forward to. You know, heaven is not some kind of passive experience where you're just kind of, you know, sitting there and letting God kind of wash over you. Heaven is a relationship. And you're going to be asking God for things and seeing him answer forever. It's going to be a wonderful relationship. So remaining in Jesus means bearing fruit. It means answer prayer. And it also means we keep his commandments. Verse 9 and 10, as the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And what are his commands? Verse 12, verse 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. So, Jesus loves us just as the Father loves him. I don't think the disciples realized that as Jesus is speaking. They weren't sitting there thinking, at this moment we are being loved. In the way that the Father loves Jesus, we're being loved by him. And maybe we don't realize that either. But Jesus certainly was loving them. Because in verse 13 and 14 it tells us, greater love is no one than this, than that a man lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends, he says, if you do what I command. So, Jesus loves his disciples. He loves his people. And he lays down his life for them. And in turn, we are to love him. In turn, we are to love each other. Now, it may be easy for us to lose sight of Jesus' love for us. All we need is a hard day. All we need is a setback. All we need is a disappointment. All we need is some failure. But Jesus never loses sight of his love for us. Jesus goes on loving us. And if we ever lose the link between ourselves and Jesus, it's not his fault. Says in verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. If ever we break from Jesus, it's because we've done it. It's not because he's done it. His love is faithful and he will keep pouring his life and his love into us as long as we want that, so that we can bear fruit and we can love too. So that's remaining, but bearing fruit, well, that's just what we'll focus on finally. The Father is looking for fruit. Verse 2 tells us that. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, you know from this illustration that vines will happily put out all their energy into tendrils and into shoots and into new branches. And the vine grower has to cut off all those extra things that are diverting the energy and the sap of the plant into stuff that isn't grapes and fruit. So the Father's working in our lives like that. You know, you and I will happily put our energy as people into stuff that's a waste of time. We will happily let ourselves be distracted. We'll put our time and our energy and our resources into stuff that's fruitless. And sometimes God will take drastic measures. Like, he won't let us take pleasure in things that are a waste of time. He'll make the world an empty place for us, because he wants us to be fruitful. He doesn't want us to be fruitless. He wants us to seek our joy in being fruitful to him. Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. He'll take away pleasure and joy from things that are just a waste of time, so that we can find our pleasure and our joy in him. So today it may be that God's working in your life and you're saying, why is life tougher? Why am I not finding pleasure in the things I used to find pleasure in? And it may be because God is saying, look, you're putting lots of energy into things that are just a waste of time. Put your energy into bearing fruit for me, is what he would say. And he's looking for you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will glorify him. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, says Jesus, that you bear much fruit. Each one of you and myself. Fruit that will last, verse 16, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. See, coming back to my question at the beginning, have you ever felt like, oh, it's a waste of time? It's a waste of time, the effort of being a Christian. Christianity is about much more than just the slog of trying to do the right thing. Christianity is about more than just having your sins forgiven and getting eternal life. Christianity is about becoming the new humanity. It's about becoming the new people of God of whom Jesus is the pattern and the first fruits. It's about becoming the mankind that God originally intended. A people who will fill the earth with his glory forever. A people who will display the glory of God in the way they live and in the way they worship, that will bring glory to God as a holy and a powerful and a loving and a good Father forevermore. So lift your eyes up from just thinking about the tough things of today and, you know, how difficult it is to follow God in your life just now, or how difficult it is to follow God at work, or how difficult it is to pray just now, or, you know, lift your eyes to see it's not just about the kind of slog of one day. It's about destiny. It's about your future. It's about being a branch on the vine forever. It's about bearing fruit to the Father's glory forever. It's about the Saviour who loved you with greater love than anyone and laid down his life for you so that you can be the new Israel, the true people of God, branches on the vine who are bearing fruit to God, not just for a few years here, but forever and ever. It's a glorious and an exciting prospect and destiny. So don't just get bogged down with the little details of today. Jesus is a true vine. So seek to be drawing your life from him and bearing fruit for him, remembering that it's all about destiny. It's about eternity. It's about the glory of God, of which he is worthy. It's about bringing praise and honor to him. This is to my Father's glory, says Jesus, that you bear much fruit. And Jesus exemplified that in his life. He bore fruit. Let's bear fruit ourselves, as Jesus did.